Good news. Jesus Christ has been born to us. And that good news is proclaimed loudly by the angels in the Christmas story. But sometimes it's not understood unless we take time in the pauses of life to listen. In music, the pauses are just as important as the notes. They give music shape and give us an opportunity to reflect and breathe a little bit with the song. And in life, I think the pauses are also just as important as the notes. It's the quiet moments of life where we have time for reflection and meditation. It's there that God shapes us. What do you do during the pauses of life? See, we live in a busy world. Our world does not in silent stillness lay. In fact, when there's silent stillness, people get really uncomfortable. And so we fill it with noise and activity and busyness. But you realize that when you fill your life with doing, there's no room in the inn. What I mean by that is there's no room for anything to be done in you because you're so busy doing things externally. Well, I think God uses pauses purposefully in our lives, pauses to shape Christ in us. And today we want to learn that waiting by faith is an act of worship. The mere practice of patient, faithful waiting is exalting God in His great plan and trusting, expressing trust in Him. Do you realize God is not in a hurry? Have you anybody been in a hurry this last week? I mean, come on. God is not in a hurry. He takes His time and works in what the Bible frequently calls the fullness of time. When the time, the right time had come. We just celebrated the birth of Christ in Galatians chapter 4. Listen to what it says. But when the time had fully come, God sent His Son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under the law and receive the full rights of children. For unto us a child is born, the prophet Isaiah announced, but it took 700 years before that child was born. The new Messiah ushered in the new covenant. But from the end of the Old Testament to the beginning of the New Testament, there's 400 years of relative quiet when people are wondering, God, what are you doing? What are you up to? See, if we only worship God in the big crescendos of life, does it mean we can't worship Him in the rest of life where it's quiet during the pauses, which frankly is most of life? Because let's be honest, there's a whole lot of aimless Tuesday afternoons and boring Friday nights in life, aren't there? Where there's just not a lot happening. Not seeing a lot of big God events even going on in my life. So, no worship? Or maybe a unique kind of worship. I believe that God purposefully places us in times of pause. His time works differently than ours does, purposefully to elicit faith from us. Because we are addicted to the now and the wow. And when things are quiet, that's when faith really kicks in. Now, I want you to tell you, what I'm going to present to you this morning is very countercultural. It's very counter to my own flesh. I received lots of shipments from Amazon over the last couple of weeks as I was buying presents for people. And so I would get these notifications, you know, your delivery's coming today from the UPS or FedEx, or it's coming from the post office. And UPS has had this really cool app. I'd get a notice, you know, it's coming today between 2:15 and 7:15. Click here if you want to watch the truck. And so I'd click here, and I could see this little dot moving around Petoskey. And it's like, oh, cool. You know, we live kind of east of town on Mitchell, or just off of Mitchell. And then all of a sudden, oh, it's on Mitchell. It's coming our way. It's coming our way. It's going to be there any minute. And then it turns like on Alcan. It's like, where are you going? What are you, you're delivering to the Hasties before delivering to the Garziellas? Come on. And I get really impatient. If I'm honest, that's kind of how I am with God. I want a God app that shows me exactly where God is and exactly what He's doing and exactly what time it's going to happen. But God doesn't work that way. Today we're going to learn that to wait for the fullness of time is worship. We've looked at Mary. She worshiped God in the mess of life. Joseph worshiped in the background through quiet obedience. The shepherds worshiped by proclaiming. They were the first to tell people what was going on. And last week we heard about the Magi who worshiped by letting go of control, by letting go of gifts. Today we are in Luke chapter 2, page 1316, if you're using the Bible that's there on the seat nearby you. And we're looking at a man named Simeon, an old man, and his encounter with Mary and Joseph and Jesus 40 days after his birth. And we start seeing time gaps happening in the story. Things have been moving along pretty well in the Christmas story, and then all of a sudden there's a 40-day gap before what happens here. And then we drop down just like 10 more verses, and there's a 12-year gap before Jesus shows up at the temple as a boy. And then there's like a full another 18 years, a 30-year gap before Jesus starts his public ministry. Is God not doing anything in that time? That's the question I want to ask today. So Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 22. I want you to pay attention as I read this to when the word law is repeated, because I'm going to reference this later, how often, and the word the Holy Spirit. So when the time came, there it is. It's in Scripture, all over the place, God's timing. When the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord. And to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was a righteous and devout man. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. And when the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God. So if waiting by faith is an act of worship, what do you actually do when you're waiting? I'm going to mention four different things. The first is this: walk faithfully in what you know until God reveals a new direction to go. Sometimes walking in patience is just walking faithfully in the same path again and again. We just celebrated a big event, Christmas Day, and in the text there were stars and there were angels and there were shepherds, and God announced new things were going to happen. A new covenant was about to take place, and there was going to be a Savior finally. And then the next 40 days dragged by. The next 30 years dragged by. Until God finally brings to fulfillment what was announced on that Christmas day. And so what are Mary and Joseph doing? They're faithfully doing what they were taught to do, what the law required. They have one step kind of in the old covenant in the law and one step in the new covenant of grace. And they're doing what they know is right to do until they receive new instruction. Did you catch how often the word law was referred to five different times in the first couple verses about what Mary and Joseph were doing? It's because it's demonstrating that Jesus is coming to fulfill the law, the only person that could ever keep it perfectly. The law shows us our shortcomings. We can't seem to do it. But Christ fulfilled the law, and that's clear that that's happening. And then we see Simeon come in, and it's all about the Holy Spirit. He's moved by the Spirit and directed by the Spirit, and the Spirit speaks to him. And at the intersection of Mary and Joseph's faithfulness to God and Simeon's obedience and listening to the Holy Spirit, this cool encounter happens, where this child that he's been waiting for, was promised he wouldn't die till he saw, suddenly he welcomes him into his arms. You know, Mary and Joseph are just doing what is right to do on kind of a next step sort of basis. But, you know, it's their obedience that fulfills the promise to Simeon. And sometimes your quiet obedience on a Wednesday afternoon might not be about you. It might be that you have an intersection with somebody else in life, and it's your obedience that makes possible their reception of God's promise. So I hope you had a great Christmas. But you know what I hope even more than that? I hope you have a wonderful Thursday, February 3rd. You haven't even thought about Wednesday, February 3rd, have you? That's 40 days from Christmas. You're not even anticipating anything happening that day. But something amazing happened 40 days after the birth of Christ that God was planning. And everyone would have missed it if Mary and Joseph weren't walking in obedience and Simeon weren't listening to the Spirit of God. And so what's going to happen to you on February 3rd? You going to miss it? Is God preparing something? or are you listening? So what can you do? Let me mention a couple things quickly before we move on to our next point. If you really want to worship God in the waiting, you need to put yourself in the right place spiritually. Put yourself in the right place spiritually on a regular basis. This is the discipline of what the Bible calls abiding in the vine, abiding in Christ, or continuing or remaining. See, if we only can worship God at harvest time when the fruit is on the vine and we pick it, we have pretty shallow faith. But if you can worship God by just abiding, waiting for the fruit to come, just staying connected to the vine because that's where the nourishment is coming, walking daily with Christ, spending time in the Word, spending time in the fellowship of believers, treasuring, pondering, waiting, worshiping, that's what Mary and Joseph were doing. And it bore fruit. Simeon was an old man practicing what one author calls a long obedience in the same direction. Just trusting God over time. A righteous man doing the right things. And he was in a position to hear from God. See, it's in walking the consistent path of obedience that the Spirit is most readily heard. All of us want to hear from God. I mean, I want to hear from God. God, what do you have for me today? But I don't take the time. I don't take the time to just patiently wait on God. Put yourself in the right place spiritually and put yourself in the right place physically. This convergence happens in Jerusalem at the temple. There's another woman a little later in the story. We don't have time to look at. Her name is Anna. She's in her 80s and she has been also waiting and showing up daily at the temple. She's in the right place to meet God. Now, I want to just pause here and applaud all of you who are here present today and all of you who are watching online. You could have been watching Home Alone again. But instead, you're watching this. You guys could have been home playing with your Christmas toys, but you came in today. Sometimes, let's be honest, sometimes coming to church on Sunday, going to your small group, bringing your kids into Genesis Kids, feels like an obligation. Feels like duty. And you think, walking with God shouldn't feel like that. And sometimes we go, walking like God shouldn't feel like that, so it must be wrong. I'm not going to do it until I feel it. No, it's not obligation. It may be obligation. It's a good obligation. It's worshipful. It's waiting God on God. Why? Because it's sometimes on an average Sunday through an average sermon that God does amazing things. And that's the story of my life. I look back and I had this huge turning point in the early days of my college experience. And I know it was because I was hearing speakers on Sundays and in chapel in the Christian college I went to. And I can't name a single one of them. And I can't even remember a single message. I know that God turned me 180 degrees because I was in the right place physically to hear from God spiritually. Parents, can I just say, keep plugging along. Feel like you're dragging your kid. Drag him along. Put him in the right place spiritually and the right place physically. I mean, Jesus, if we look down to verse 41, this is 12 years later, when he's 12 years old, and it says, every year Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. Do you see that consistency? And when he was 12, they lost him. You remember that story maybe? Like, where did he go? They started heading home in this big group of people, and where is he? They go back, and he's in the temple, teaching the teachers of the law. And they had a glimpse, and they went, oh, we see it's emerging now. We're starting to see. It's been 12 years, but we're seeing God's promise coming true. And then verse 51 says this, they went back to Nazareth, and Jesus went with them and was obedient to them. See, he's practicing that long obedience in the same direction. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart. There she's doing that again. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. 30 years, Jesus is experiencing the fullness of God's timing. He's developing. Where did he get the courage to go to the cross? Where did he get the courage to be obedient to the Father? I don't know that it was just in the moment. I think it was those pauses, those decades of preparation that the Father strengthened him. So, how do you worship God while waiting? Walk faithfully in what you know. Secondly, live expectantly in the Holy Spirit. Let's turn our attention a little bit more to Simeon. He was waiting, verse 25 says, for the consolation of Israel, for the Messiah, for the Savior, and the Holy Spirit was on him. Now, I want you to grasp this. Waiting does not equal doing nothing. Okay? The word here for waiting is filled with anticipation, active anticipation, looking intently for something. The word is used sometimes for people who are going to lay an ambush for another person. Like, I'm waiting, they're going to come along, and I'm going to jump on it. That's kind of what Simeon's doing. I'm waiting. God's going to do something. He's promised, and a lot of years have gone by, but when it comes, I'm ready to jump on it. You know, it's not the kind of waiting that we sometimes do. This last week, I was waiting in the grocery store line with my big cart full of groceries, and it was a long line. And yes, that's waiting, but it's not faith waiting. That's just endurance waiting. But when we waited for the Christmas meal, that's the kind of waiting. Something good is coming, and I know it, and I got to be patient before I enjoy it. And I had finished my message and had a whole other waiting thing happen. I was totally conscious of my message when we were opening presents yesterday at the Guardiola house. We had our kids in home, their spouses, our granddaughter. It was just a wonderful time together. And so it was Christmas. We were all ready. We got the gifts, and first round of gifts got moved from the tree and passed around to everybody. And we went by age. Our granddaughter went, and my daughter, and my son and his wife, and my son and his wife, and then my wife, and then back to my granddaughter, and then my daughter and the spouses and Tammy, and then back to my granddaughter. This went like multiple rounds, and it's like, was I naughty? What's the deal? I this went like multiple times, and I'm just sitting there, and they kind of smiled at me because just hang in there. Now I had seen there was the biggest box of Christmas behind the couch, kind of. It didn't even fit by the tree. It was about my size, laying on its side. And so I started wondering. I'm like, this must be for me. And I had zero clue about what it was going to be. And so finally, last gift of Christmas. I got nothing but this. This is the one thing I got. It's dragged out and put in front of me, and the cameras come out, and they're all like, well, I'm serious. I'm like going, and my message is on my mind going, all right, wait with your expectation. Who knows? And I rip open the box, and there's this gigantic, I don't know what, in the box. It looked something like either a submarine or a giant compressor. I had no idea what this big tube was. It was this huge telescope. I mean, a big 8-inch viewing galaxy type telescope that my family had been plotting for like 6 months to get me, because they know I'm this kind of guy that when there's a comet to see, or there's, meteorites or Venus is especially visible, I'm always out in the front yard or the backyard or wherever we are worshiping God by looking at his creation. And it was so worth the wait. And we got it out last night, and it was so cloudy you couldn't see anything. But we got it out on the front sidewalk, and we aimed it sideways and started looking at all your houses out there somewhere. Because I wanted to see this. That's the anticipation. That was worth the wait, even though I felt passed by. Do you feel passed by sometimes by God? Where are the promises, God? Do you believe by faith his word that it's coming? And it's worth waiting for. So during this patience, the Holy Spirit is working through Simeon. See, the law is about what we do. It's about activity. And law is good. There's nothing wrong with what we do. It's just that we can't do enough to be right with God. The Holy Spirit is about what God does through us. And he most often does that in the pauses, in the quiet times, when we're listening. So if the Holy Spirit called you to move today, would you even hear him? Are you spending time listening? Have you cultivated those listening skills through prayer, through scripture, by talking to other believers, so that maybe sometimes I hear God's voice through other people is the clearest way I hear it when they speak to me. Kind of reminds me the skill that's learned of a story that occurred a number of years ago in the early days of the telegraph. Jobs were scarce, and the telegraph was building out, and they were hiring people to, clickety-clack out Morse code to send messages across the country. And so an ad went out, a help wanted ad, and a bunch of young men converged on the telegraph office, and they were just waiting, dozens of them, out in the lobby for an appointment to be interviewed for this job. And while they're waiting there, the telegraph's clickety-clacking in the background, and the manager's office, his door is closed. And in walks another young man with his application, sits down in a chair, sits there for like 1 minute, gets up, uncalled for, walks right into the manager's office, and everybody's aghast. A couple of minutes go by, he walks out with the manager behind him, who announces to the rest of the crowd, You can all go home. The position has been filled. And they're like, what? We've been waiting here. What happened? I don't understand. Well, the manager said, the whole time you've been sitting here, a telegraph has been clicking this message in Morse code. If you understand this message, come into the manager's office. The job is yours. And all those dozens of people missed it. Either they didn't understand the message, they weren't skilled enough yet, or they were so anxious and busy about what was over here that they weren't listening. And I think to myself, is that me? Is God speaking and I'm not listening? I don't want to be that person. We're so busy filling our time with stuff that we miss the fullness of God's timing. So what do? We listen. Now, there's a couple other things that we do, and I'm going to mention these a little bit more quickly. But first, let's read what happens next in the text. Verse 28. So Simeon took him in his arms, the Christ child. By the way, Simeon's old. And he basically says, now I can die. This is exactly what we all need to do before we die, is to take Jesus into our arms. Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. Here's the key line. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. And the child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. So in the pauses, we walk faithfully, we live expectantly, and we praise God for the fullness of his grace, even when you only catch a glimpse. Can you praise God for the fullness of his grace, even when you only see a little bit of a sliver? See, Simeon's eyes are old. He's probably got cataracts by now, but his spiritual vision is not diminished in the slightest. For my eyes have seen your salvation, verse 30 said. And if you pause long enough, you should go, really? I mean, I would understand my eyes will see your salvation, but my eyes have seen your salvation. What did he actually see as he's been waiting and waiting and waiting? He sees a poor family. You might not have seen it in the text, but their offering of two pigeons or two doves was a poor person's offering. That was a compromise type of a thing. If you can't afford a lamb, God's gracious, this is good too. That's what they offered. You got a poor family. He's looking for the Messiah. He's looking for the Savior. And it's a baby. But God has revealed to him, this is it. My eyes have seen your salvation. At the end of his life, he saw the beginning of Christ's life and said, I've seen enough. Because I trust God that he will keep his good and faithful promises to me. I can now die. That phrase, now dismiss, in Latin is called the nunc dimittis. It's been used in music throughout the years and so on. You may now dismiss me in peace. Can you say that if you see even just a sliver of God's promises? I want to just tell you something really straight out. My job is to be honest with you. You will never experience the fullness of God in this life. Sorry, it's true. You will not. Listen to what 1 Corinthians 13, the famous love chapter that we all love to quote. It says, for now we see only a reflection, as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part. Then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. There is a fullness of time yet to come when Christ returns, when bam, there it is. Do you believe that? Are you willing to see a little sliver up today and go, yes, it's coming. I'm good with just the sliver, God. Because I trust you. I'm walking by faith. To know or experience all in this life isn't biblical. It's prideful to even expect that. It lacks faith. Can you celebrate just the few measures of the big eternal score that God is composing? Can you praise him on a mundane Monday for the big salvation story? See, when you experience a moment of joy in the middle of sorrow, what do? You look to the end and you say, someday there will be no more sorrow and no more suffering. And no more pain. And I praise God for what's coming because I've seen a piece of it today. When you see a glimmer of light in the darkness, you say, someday in eternity, the Bible tells me there won't even be the need for the sun because God's light will shine that brightly. So in this glimmer, I'm looking forward and I'm praising God in this quiet moment. So Where are you at today? Maybe it's been 40 days since you've really heard from God. Maybe it's been 40 weeks. Dare I say, sometimes it might feel like 40 years. Is something wrong with God? Maybe we're not listening. That's more likely. Or maybe God wants us to faithfully worship Him in the quiet pause. A number of years ago, I was hanging out with some older guys from my church, and we were in a prayer group. And they were all military veterans except me. Floyd was a World War II veteran. Dale was a Korea War veteran. And Paul and Clinton, they were Vietnam veterans. And they just kind of got talking about things you learned when you're in the Navy or the Army, and things like don't ever volunteer for anything. I learned all kinds of stuff from these guys. And then just kind of in passing, Paul said, oh, yeah, I remember being in Nam, and it was just, frankly, it was like boring. I mean, he was in military combat. It was boring and boring. And then everything breaks loose. And it's like what you see in a movie, followed by boring and boring and nothing to do. And he said, they drilled into my head this phrase, when not engaged with the enemy, strengthen your position. And he said that once, and I went, oh, that'll preach. I'm like, when not engaged with the enemy, strengthen your position. What do? In the pause, you prepare. You get ready. Because there will be battles to come. And we're beginning a new year very soon, and I just want to tell you, get ready, because there will be battles to come. And so when it's a quiet February 3rd, prepare your heart for what might yet happen. And that brings us to the last thing that we do. Number four. We strengthen our souls for the painful blessings. During the pauses, take time to strengthen your soul for what I call the painful blessings of life. Let's take a look at the rest of this text, verse 34. It says, then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, now get that, blessed. How many of you want to be blessed? Doesn't that just sound like a good thing? I want blessings from God. Well, hang in there. Let's see what this blessing's about. This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. A sword will pierce your own soul. Be blessed! What? Come on, Mary, put that in your little treasure box and ponder it. It does not feel like a blessing to me. There will come a time where your heart will be ripped to shreds because you'll see your son, that God-announced son, dead on a cross. It was proclaimed to her, Hail Mary, full of grace, blessed are you among women. So here's some things I learned from this. To be blessed does not mean that you won't ever hurt or experience pain. It's very clear. To be blessed or highly favored doesn't mean things will always go your way. To be full of grace doesn't mean smooth sailing. It means that God's power and grace is sufficient for you, and you'll see it in the land of the living. So, do you want to be blessed by God? Yes is the answer, because to see God's grace move through even the painful, difficult things of life is wonderful. You can't get to the triumph except through the trials sometimes, and that's where God's grace abounds to us. God's blessing isn't a substitute for difficulty. It's the blessing itself. So, what do you do when the music turns to a minor key? Can you still worship God in the waiting? So Simeon's been awaiting the manger. He's been worshiping God in the pauses, and I want to encourage you to do that through our next steps. Now, these next steps might surprise you a little bit. We usually kind of focus on, what do I do? So here's the first next step. Don't step. Wait on the Lord. Don't step. Wait on the Lord. A time will come for action, but it may not be this day. In fact, I'd suggest it's not most days. Or you could smile and go to playgroup. That's the other option of things that you could do as possibilities. There's next steps. We'll get to them up there in a minute. Don't step. Wait on God. Prepare yourself. Secondly, what do you do next? Take the same step again. Sometimes it's not about doing something new. It's about doing the same thing you did yesterday again before God, faithfully. Read your Bible. Pray. Think on his thoughts. Nothing exciting might happen today, but you meet God in those pauses. I'm going to watch some football this afternoon, and to be honest, there's a lot more pausing than there is action in football. I mean, they get together, they huddle, they talk, they do this, they set the play, then they play. And there's apps for that where you watch everything fast forward, right? Just play after play after play, and you condense it all down to a little bit. My wife wishes it was that way. But the play doesn't happen without the preparation. The calling the play, the setting yourself, the checking out the defense. It doesn't happen without the preparation the whole week before. That's where it happens. Take the same step again. Finally, there may come a time where you take a step of faith. A faith step, but only when God moves you. See, we tend to move and say, God, come along. Instead, we need to follow God where he's moving. You may get another glimpse of his goodness and his greatness. It may be your obedience is intersecting with another worshiper and you praise God together. But the point is this, you are not the composer of this great score. God is. And he shapes and he pauses the music in order for us to focus on him. I want to invite you to stand and let's just quietly prepare and present our hearts to God as we anticipate with faith what he might do in this next year that lies in front of us. I want to remind you that when I'm done, there'll be some people up front that are ready to pray with you, for you, or for others in your life, and they would love nothing more than if you came up to the front and did that. Let's pray. Father God, I want to thank you for the big moments of our lives, the anchor moments, the moments of salvation and baptism and where you just break through in a big way and we just go, wow, and we celebrate. We celebrate that as we celebrate Christmas this year. But Lord God, I also want to thank you for what is most days, quietness. Nothing big and obvious happening other than I'm still alive and you're with me and you love me. And that's astounding. I don't need anything else to celebrate. Lord God, for everyone in this room, I pray that they would, like Simeon, would take Jesus into their arms before death takes them into its arms. And for all of us, Lord, may we have seen enough of your salvation that we can say, you can dismiss us now. Because we have seen your salvation, and by faith, we will walk in it. And may we say with the psalmist, I am still confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong. And wait for the Lord. It's in the name of Jesus Christ that we pray. Amen. Go and wait.